Welcome. You're listening to Bible Focus. My name is Michael Lerman. And this week we've been in Mark's Gospel account and have been learning two essential expectations of the Christian life. Two expectations of what life following Jesus will be like. And yesterday we learned the second of these as we thought about the blind man seeing Jesus and his disciples walking around looking like trees, like people carrying crosses. And shortly after, we heard Jesus tell his disciples and the crowds that a life following him is a life of taking up our cross, a life of cross carrying. What does it mean, then, for you and for me to take up our cross? We clearly don't mean that we carry wooden beams around with us all day, but what does it mean? Maybe you've heard the phrase used in glib ways. I heard it used this way just this last week. Imagine I were to tell you that during this rather hot summer we've been having, the air conditioning in our car wasn't working. Maybe someone would respond, "Well, we all have our crosses to bear." There's no end of ways we use the phrase to refer to inconveniences we face. But Jesus isn't talking about the frustrations of living in a broken world. He's not talking about living with inconveniences. What does he mean by it? Well, what did a cross mean? A cross meant death. It meant one's life was forfeit. A cross was an instrument of execution. The Christian life is not about enduring inconveniences, but of dying to ourselves. The call to follow Jesus is not a call to make life easier or more comfortable or to make you more popular. It may mean you lose friends because you follow Jesus. It may mean your family grows cold towards you. For my mom, years ago, after the Lord saved her, it meant breaking off an engagement with someone who wasn't a Christian. It may mean being shamed by your colleagues because you won't bow to the demands of culture. You won't give in to the intimidation to conform. It may mean being mocked by friends at school because you won't join in with some of their activities. It may mean getting bullied because you're a Christian. It may mean one day getting reported for hate speech. For some, it may mean you have to flee from your home country or that you can't return to your home country because you're a Christian. For some in the world, it means they will literally give their lives for Jesus, being killed because they are Christians. The type and extent of suffering and cross-carrying that comes our way can vary greatly, but that is the invitation and the expectation Jesus gives. I have to confess, I like being comfortable. I would much rather follow Jesus and have it not cost me very much. And in one sense, I suppose that's natural. It's just our instinct. And Jesus never said relish in suffering and go looking for it. But he did tell us to expect it. And he did tell us to take up our cross, to die to ourselves. We may not relish it, but we embrace it when it comes. We shouldn't think something has gone wrong when suffering comes. I need to prepare for and commit myself to following Jesus, dying to myself, expecting it to cost me in a variety of ways. I need to ask God's Spirit to empower me to not cower when the prospect of suffering comes, but ask that I may face it like Jesus did. Verse 38 speaks about being ashamed of Jesus. The temptation to be ashamed of Jesus is all too real. And no doubt, at times, we choose to be ashamed of him rather than to carry our cross, rather than to deny ourselves. Maybe you're listening just now and think, Michael, this all seems a bit of a downer. Maybe think of a different way to pitch a life of following Jesus. Well, it isn't my pitch, it's Jesus' pitch. But neither is it the whole of it. There is more to say. A life of cross-carrying and dying to self isn't the end of the story. What does Jesus tell us about cross-carrying? Listen again to verse 35. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. The cross is the path to life. Whoever loses his life for my sake, for the gospel, will save it. Whoever takes up their cross and follows me, that death will lead to life. That is God's pattern, death leading to life. It was the pattern with Jesus that he told his disciples back in verse 31. He would suffer, he would be killed, he would rise again. How does a life of cross-carrying end? Not in death, but in life. And Jesus gives us the alternative in verse 36. You can gain the world, but forfeit your soul. It ends not in life, but death. In God's economy, many of the rich and famous of this world live in poverty. We need to follow in the steps of Jesus, believing that the cross is the path to life. We need to understand that, and we need to embrace it. Eternal realities impose themselves on our present existence. And it's more than just the future. Living a self-focused life now results in losing out on life, even as it's meant to be lived in the present, a life of meaning and significance. Taking up your cross, denying yourself, this does not mean you live a subpar life, that you miss out on life. You may miss out on some events or some experiences or some comforts in the world, but you will not miss out on true life, abundant life, real life. Some of you will know the experience of meeting Christians who have far less than you or I have, and yet as you meet with them and see their life of faith and their walk with the Lord, taking up their cross and denying themselves, you think to yourself, their life is rich. It's attractive and you want it. You want your life to be like theirs. Their pursuit is not to gain the world, but to faithfully follow Jesus, to deny themselves, taking up their cross and following him. A life of denying yourself, carrying your cross and following Jesus isn't about missing out on life, but experiencing fullness of life now, and even more fully in the world to come. Expect a life of cross-carrying as you follow Jesus, knowing that the cross is the way to life, knowing that it ends not in death, but in resurrection and glory. This week we've been in Mark's gospel account and seen Jesus' unusual healing of the blind man. We are given a living parable that gives us two essential expectations of a life following Jesus. Two essential expectations of the Christian life. First, a life of growing clarity. You and I need to see Jesus more clearly, and the Lord faithfully turns the focus lens on the eyes of our faith and understanding as we walk with him in the company of his church, so that slowly and steadily we see the beauty and wonder and glory of Jesus more and more clearly as we live the Christian life. A life of growing clarity and a life of cross-carrying. The call in following Jesus is the call to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And as we do this, we understand that the cross is the path to life. So as we head into another day, may we, like Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, may we enjoy, see him more clearly, and take up our cross and follow him.
Thank you so much, Michael. And unfortunately, that's all the time that we have today and this week here on Bible Focus. I really do hope that you have been blessed and encouraged by what you've heard in all of the messages this week. But I hope that you will join myself on Monday as we start a new series. So have a good weekend, and I'll see you in the next one.